in the world. I'm John Batchelor, Reuters reporting. Italy readies targeted tax breaks for farmers, according to a minister in Giorgia Meloni's government. The photograph accompanying these stories about farmers has a line of very beautiful tractors looking exactly like the very beautiful tractors most recently jamming up the center of Berlin, the same tractors in the Netherlands, the same tractors in Paris. The farm vote, while it is not a big percentage of the GDP, it is a profound piece of the politics of these European countries. And I'm very pleased to welcome Lorenzo Fiore of the Ansaldo Foundation to help me understand how Italy's government, the Meloni government, is responding to the hardship the farmers are experiencing these last years. Lorenzo, a very good evening to you. The farmers, the farmers, the farmers. We've worried about the risotto crop. Remember when the rivers were low, and now we worry about the farmers. How is the farm lobby, that's what we call it, the farm group, how is it regarded by the Italian public in general? Are they celebrated or are they seen as disruptive? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and good evening to all the radio listeners. Let me tell you that very likely the Italians are trying to understand the reason of the protest and how this protest is developing. To make more understanding what I'm saying, I can tell you that there is an important association of a farmer in Italy called the Coldiretti. I know that the chairman of this association, that is a pretty powerful, is pretty much closer to the government. But right now, this is a protest that comes from many individual farmers that they have decided to join the protest that is happening all around Europe regarding the limitation that the European Commission have put in the agricultural sector, taking into account that the farmers right now are really compressed in terms of cost of what they produce because they don't earn enough money that cover the cost of production. And I can tell you that this is very true. I know by myself, when I'm in Siena, I have always the possibility to talk with the farmers, and they are telling me that because of many, many rules that the European Commission has put in place and the import from other countries that doesn't have such a rule, their power of selling at a price that is enough to remunerate the cost and have a bit of a gain is not enough. So this is a protest now that is over and above what is typically the role of this association called the Coldiretti. They are trying to make pretty clear that they need to have an help, and I think the government started to give some remediation, increasing the funds devoted to the agricultural sector, confirming a certain bonus in terms of discount to the oil price for this tractor. And let me tell you that the best tractor are the Italian-made tractors.
Yes, yes, yes. The spring is nearby, and we have to entertain tourism, and Italy did wonderful with tourism. 50 million people visited Italy in 2022. I don't have the numbers for 23, but it was huge. However, along with the tourists were unhappy events. I remember, Lorenzo, we reported on the young man who did graffiti at the Colosseum in Rome, and now we have a report of somebody going swimming in the Trevi Fountain in Rome. What is Europe going to do about it? What is Italy going to do about it? We welcome the tourists, but we worry about the tourists taking advantage of Italian hospitality and damaging the archives.
Well, John, just to give you the numbers of 2023. The number of tourists in 2023, considering also the Italian, were three times the Italian population. So a huge amount of people coming to visit our beauty. And of course, this is causing a lot of implication, because when you have so many people that goes over and above the resident, clearly there is an environmental, a commercial, and residential problem. Maybe the case which is the most critical one is the case of Venice. Venice is a town where the residents have been reduced dramatically from the last century to the today. I mean, by three times. So now in Venice there are only less than 40,000 Venice people living permanently in Venice. All the rest are tourists that are causing what you said, not only a lack of respect to the monuments, a way of behaving that is contrary to the education. But there is a clear problem in terms of their environment, for example, the collection of garbage, the cleaning of the street, even the possibility to walk in the street, because there are so many people that then there is a sort of a traffic block of pedestrian going around. And the other critical point, which is coming up, is the increasing cost of the rental fee in the town, because there is a lot of Airbnb or similar to Airbnb rental. And this is, of course, something that the Italian government thinking, because most of them are for short-term rental, which is not good for the resident and even for the town.
One item that becomes very difficult to understand, reported in the Financial Times, about friction between the town and the mayor of Monfalcone and immigrants who are now working at the Fincantieri shipyards. This is on the Adriatic. And there's friction not only with the local government, but with the national government. These are Bangladeshis and North Africans who are Muslims, and they want a place to worship. Are they going to get such a place? Is it going to happen for them?
Well, let me tell you that Monfalcone is a town nearby Trieste, where there are the famous Fincantieri shipyard. And I can tell you that right now, more than 80% of the workers come from Bangladesh, Pakistan, and so on. So there is a clear problem for these people that wants to have a place to pray, and they don't have a mosque, and so they intend to pray in a public place. But the mayor was against that. Let me tell you positively that the protest was very civilized. They decided to go in the street and claim for the rights to have a place, a public place where they can pray their religion, and they have applied also to the court to have some reason of their protest. Let's see what will happen, but for the time being everything remain calm and quiet, although it's a very important news on the headlines of our newspaper and media.
Finally, the Prime Minister Meloni shaking hands with the Prime Minister of Japan, Kishida, and talking about economic ties between Italy and Japan for greater Indo-Pacific role. Is this popular? Does this get good attention for the Meloni government?
Absolutely, absolutely. There were a lot of echoes on media and newspaper regarding this visit. Don't forget that the interchange of trade between the two countries in the order of $15 billion. So it's an important amount of money, but there is also a strategic cooperation in defense for the sixth generation fighter. And let me tell you that in the next week, our Italian Navy fleet will be in Japan to carry on a coordinated and collaborative maneuver in the sea around Japan. So it's an important collaboration. It's a collaboration that dates back to the past. Let's see how this can develop more and more in terms of benefit to both countries, technologically and manufacturing speaking.
And every Italian warship comes with a cappuccino machine. Lorenzo Fiore of the Ansaldo Foundation. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,